government agencies can't. And so I want to begin by thanking you for your collective leadership and your collective advocacy on behalf of Indian Country. Really appreciate the opportunity to meet with the membership today, as well as the board of directors, and President Patterson, Vice President Noka, and Executive Director Carol over there. The economic development meeting last year was very helpful, and I was honored to attend that, because economic development across the whole across the board is very important to me as a Native person. For those that don't know me, I am a new member of the commission, and along with Commissioner Little, we represent the National Indian Gaming Commission. I was very fortunate to be brought up to speed relatively quickly by the outstanding staff that we have working at the commission. We have our staff represented here today by our general counsel, Eric Shepard, behind me, and our associate general counsel, Michael Honig. And they, along with some folks who have really invested many years, decades in some instances, in working to protect and ensure the integrity of the industry of gaming, they have been extraordinarily helpful in leading the commission through a smooth transition. So I'm very appreciative of the wealth of talent and knowledge in the commission itself. But as I said before, economic development to me is where the rubber meets the road in terms of providing us tools as Native people in the realm of economics, tools in the political arena, to do what's important to us as Native people, and that's frankly preserve our cultures, preserve our vision of the future, and to preserve our self-determination. And so economic development, and by extension gaming as an industry, are really only means to an end. I know we all know that the real end is protecting who we are as Native people, and protecting our languages, our cultures, and our ability for our children to pass on the values that are important to us as people. And so I was honored to speak to USEP last year about economic development. I'm honored in my new capacity to talk to you a little bit about gaming. I'm Muscogee Creek. I consider my tribe southern and eastern tribe, even though we were moved against our will, as we all know. But I really appreciate and recognize the cultural traditions that your communities come from. We at the commission continue to move forward on some of the initiatives and some of the portions of the strategic plan that are designed to help us meet our statutory mandate to ensure the integrity of gaming. Those initiatives, or those portions of our strategic plan, fall into four major categories, and I'm sure you've heard this many times. I won't beat the same drum over and over again, but first and foremost, consultation and relationship building is very important to allow us to have a working partnership with tribes and tribal regulators to protect the industry moving forward. Beyond that, our training and technical assistance is a fundamental part of what we do. So outside of our oversight capacity, and as regulators, we do have oversight responsibilities in the industry. We work hand in hand with state and tribal regulators. But separate and apart from that, we believe, moving forward in the future, our function as an agency that assists with training and technical assistance is as much a part of protecting the industry as anything that we do in the oversight arena. So along with that, training both internally, so that our folks on the ground are as up to date as possible about the needs of the industry, but also training externally on a voluntary basis, training targeted at any tribes tribal regulators who want to work with the commission to stay up to date on commission regulations and rules. That's very important to us. And on top of that, our final two major goals are continued and up-to-date regulatory review and continued and up-to-date agency operation reviews. So I've got a few updates in each of those four areas that I want to talk to you about, but we maintain a business as usual direction at the commission in regard to those four areas. Another way of articulating those four areas is our ACE initiative. And as a new member of the commission, I felt very, very comfortable just continuing the path of the ACE initiative. And again, I don't want to beat the same drum over and over again, but ACE stands for assistance, and that encapsulates our training and technical assistance that we talked about. C stands for compliance, doing whatever we can to work with tribes and tribal regulators on the ground so that efforts are made in the early part of the process to ensure compliance, recognizing that it's always cheaper and just much more efficient to address potential compliance issues early rather than later. And finally, the E stands for enforcement when and if necessary. We never shirk our oversight responsibilities. That is a fundamental part of our statutory mandate, but that ACE initiative clearly articulates our priorities and our directions. So the commission is committed to maintaining the directions set forth in the ACE initiative. And first and foremost, an ongoing dialogue and an ongoing collaborative relationship is our goal. So with that, we are planning on engaging in some consultations around the corner. And we're currently in the process at the commission working with staff to finalize a notice for the Federal Register. Please stay tuned. I can't give an exact date as to when that will be ready, but we're still weighing potential topics. But I can tell you, in all likelihood, that notice will address two main areas of consultation that we'd very much appreciate input and feedback on. One involves the extent to which full environmental review is required before a chairperson, in this case myself, gives final approval to a management agreement. So in the past, a full NEPA review a full NEPA process was required for that for those contracts to be approved. The statute allows for some flexibility, and we'd like to hear input from the tribes as to the best way to move forward. In addition to that, and of very much a personal interest to me, we are anticipating asking for some general input as to technological developments around the corner that we as an agency should keep in mind as we continue to develop our training and technical assistance services, as well as stay up to date on our compliance and enforcement responsibilities as well. So we're not looking for input on any specific portions of legislation or what have you. We're looking for input across the board about what we can do internally and externally to stay ahead of the technological curve, recognizing that gaming is a technology-driven industry. And in order to have a meaningful role in the industry, we need to be constantly on top of developments, either in gaming technology or in potential areas of concern, to make sure that tribes and tribal regulators are protected by external forces as well. So please, when that notice goes out, please keep in mind that we do honor our collaborative relationship with you. We're going to hold specific consultations. We're looking at four potential locations, although things aren't final until the notice goes out. And the first one will be at the RES conference in Las Vegas, the Economic Development Conference. We're also going to be holding one at the Great Plains Indian Gaming Association, as well as the Southern Indian Gaming Association, and we plan to wrap up at NIGA. Beyond that, we're also very conscious of consultation fatigue, and coming from my past position, I'm very sensitive to that as well. So although we want comments, I don't want anybody to feel like they're obligated to attend any of these in person or to incur the travel costs. So we're going to try and make at least one of those consultations, likely the last one at NIGA. We're going to try and ensure that one of them has phone capabilities so that call-in comments can be solicited. So that's a little discussion about the consultations coming up. The technology piece is really important to us because we have an opportunity in front of us as a commission. We're moving into a new space, hopefully by the end of spring. It'll be at 90 K Street. We're working on finalizing logistics for our move, but the move is allowing us to upgrade some of our technology capacities so that we can have meetings or potential consultations in a broader fashion than we have before. So that folks can call in or video in, and we can also provide our trainings in-house and wire them to folks across the land. So we really do want input on technology as a whole as we move forward. Training and technical assistance is, as I mentioned before, important. I do want to make a couple announcements about some specific trainings that are coming up around the corner. We'll be holding one in Oklahoma City, February 11th through 13th. That's next week. And another one, February 25th through 27th at Matazel Casino and Resort in Payson, Arizona. And those trainings are important for two things. One, it's a chance for anybody who wishes to attend one of those trainings to attend. But beyond that, they're extensions of our ongoing commitment to be out there in the community, to be available to tribes and tribal members and regulators to answer questions. And so there's a twofold purpose to those trainings. In addition to that, in keeping with our larger technology push, after listening to various tribal comments about wanting to streamline the ability for tribes to submit fee payments, we initiated a test or a pilot project to accept payments through pay.gov. We extended that to one test tribe to see how that would work. Early reports are that it's worked out very well and that that program will be offered in the very near future to a number of other tribes so that we can build upon this. It was interesting last week during the State of the Union address, the president mentioned that the nation that goes all in on innovation today will own the global economy tomorrow. I think a very similar statement can be made about the gaming industry. As we know, in order to stay competitive in the evolving marketplace, tribes are really at the forefront in evaluating new technologies and really trying to maximize the economic development benefits to their communities. If we as an agency wish to play a relevant role moving forward in the future, we want to evaluate those alongside you and work with you to stay current. And that's from top to bottom, that's important to all of us at the commission. Self-regulation is something that we're very, very proud of at the commission. It's certainly in keeping with the larger push towards self-determination and self-governance that's a hallmark of this of this administration. As many of us know, the commission finalized its final rules regarding self-regulation last year, and we're currently in the process of implementing those self-regulation rules for Class 2 gaming. We have one applicant who submitted a full petition for self-regulation, and we're currently working with that applicant, who happens to be a very established a gaming tribe. We're working with that tribe to ensure a thorough and timely review of that application. So self-regulation is part of our ongoing push to work hand in hand with the tribes to ensure that the first responders and the first line of regulation is the most important, and that's the folks on the ground within each tribal community. That continues to be important to us. You know, one thing I do want to note, a lot of these things are very targeted efforts on behalf of the commission to address, say, NEPA reviews or technology or self-regulation, self-regulation rules. You know, our scope as an agency is guided by the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. We have a very narrow scope, and our entire field involves gaming. That somewhat defines how broad, I mean, that definitely defines how broad our mission is, but that sometimes defines our day-to-day direction. Hearing the very candid statements of the committee staff before, I'm sometimes very thankful that we have such a very narrow mission and some of these broader issues aren't part of our day-to-day activities. That being said, we absolutely understand the importance of our role in the industry and the importance of our role in Indian economic development across the board. And we hold very solemn our role as a partner along with tribes to make sure that the industry of gaming is regulated as best as it can be. We constantly echo the tribes' positions that the industry of Indian gaming is probably the best regulated industry out there, not just gaming industry, just industry as a whole. When you talk about the roles of tribal regulators, state regulators, and federal regulators all working hand in hand, we echo the comments that are brought up from the tribes. And while we are limited in our ability to advocate in certain ways, say on the Hill or with respect to potential litigation, we are mindful of and thoroughly respectful toward the advocacy and the leadership of groups such as USET. And before opening it up for questions, I do want to close on the final point that, I say at every opportunity that gaming is a means to an end. It's not an end itself, as we all know. It's not just a strategy for making money. This is about lifeblood, and this is about preservation of who we are as a people. We're a federal agency governed by statute, and our mission is very narrow. But we hold solemn, as I said before, our role in that larger goal of preserving the lifeblood of Native people. So, Mado, for the opportunity to speak before you today. I'm happy to entertain any comments or questions.
We'll get there. Jonadiv, thank you. And welcome to the table and dialogue with our leader nations, the leaders of our tribal nations. Let me just offer a couple of perspectives here. The USET family represents some of the largest gaming in the world. Okay, not in the region, but in the world. In doing so, and please prove me wrong, is that I would believe that the USET gaming tribes control roughly 25% of Indian gaming. That's a huge number. That's a huge representation of Indian country gaming. In doing so, it really advances the economic platforms and the social platforms that our tribal nations collectively are represented. So I'm glad, with that said, I would have to say consultation in the East, you know, oftentimes, as you would know from your heritage, that it's often viewed that, oh, there's still Indians in the East? I didn't know that. We always have to hammer that home. If we're 25% of the Indian gaming market, I would expect NIGC to have specific outreach, especially with this consultation initiatives going forward. We should be included in some manner. Now, with that said, I really appreciate your comments and your approach and leadership on the relationship, especially when it comes to oversight and training, training assistance, and keeping us abreast in other developments. One of my constant refrains: relationships are paramount. Everything else is derivative. It is essential. You know, we've been left to respond to many different leadership approaches throughout the years, especially with NIGC, with others. Threats of retirement and then not retiring, but attacking our Class 2 gaming initiatives, etc. So I believe, rather than taking that hard approach, that we would be best to meet in a collaborative fashion to advance the needs of Indian gaming, both from regulatory and from fulfillment of those requirements as well. So I appreciate that very much so. Collaboration is essential. We would not need a capital C consultation policy if we had a meaningful, effective relationship that we could leverage. So that's a good insight that you bring to the table. My chiefs, my leaders, any thoughts, comments, observations, please. We covered a lot of ground with NIGC and their initiatives. We look forward to the dialogue. We would urge you to, again, if we're 25% of Indian gaming, we would appreciate and expect that NIGC would respect that and hold some consultation in the East as well.
Well, Mado, for that, President, let me address. I personally am very excited about one of our in-person consultations, one of the four that I mentioned. I didn't mention where the Southern Indian Gaming consultation is going to take place, but it is going to be taking place at Biloxi, Mississippi, which Biloxi, being an old Muskogee guy, it sounds pretty Creek to me in terms of a word the Choctaws may argue. But so we are planning on extending the scope of our in-person consultations to Biloxi, but beyond that, and we will be certainly mindful moving forward about trying to hold in-person consultations in as a representative of a geographical approach as possible.
That's right.
We always, one of the reasons fellow Commissioner Little graciously volunteered not to have to present today is because he's up there every week, it seems, in terms of presenting to USET or to USET membership. We are absolutely open to in-person consultations there. But beyond that, one of the purposes of that call-in approach and providing the opportunity for folks to submit written comments or call-in comments is to afford the opportunity for everybody to call in or participate in a meaningful way, regardless of the physical location of the consultation. So really appreciate that invitation. We look forward to taking you up on that invitation in the future and continuing our dialogue.
Oh, any final thoughts, comments, observations? Good presentation, good dialogue, thank you. We have from Seminole, Mr. Joel Frank.
Thank you for the information that you've provided for us in terms of the self-regulation.